Well, good morning, everyone. And Happy New Year. I'm not sure if that applause is for Kiva or for me, but I'll take it. Anyway, so if you are a kid, which means that you are below the age of 50, because how many of you know that when you get older, you don't ever feel older? Your body just feels older, right? But anyway, I know that we've got families in the room today. Yes, people are raising their hand in reluctant testimony. Today, actually, we're doing something different. We are doing a Testimony Sunday. What that means is that we have asked five willing and generous souls to come up and tell the story of what God has done in them and for them over the last year. Okay, so they're going to share 5 to 7 minutes. We've never done this before, to my knowledge, and so this will be a bit of an adventure, and I'm very, very excited to hear. Now, before Heather comes on up, she's our first testimony, I just want to share this brief little moment in John chapter 4. In John chapter 4, some of you may know or may be familiar with John chapter 4. This is when Jesus has a radical encounter with the Samaritan woman. He meets her by the well. It's noon, and I won't go and exposit John chapter 4, even though it's one of the beautiful passages that you would ever read. But toward the end of that chapter, you may or may not be familiar with this, but the woman gives testimony. And what John 4 tells us, we can throw this passage up on the screen, because of the testimony, many in that town believed in Jesus. Some of you may or may not know this, but this Samaritan woman was one of the first, if not the first, evangelists. We give testimony because we live in a world where we need to be reminded that God is alive and still at work. Because oftentimes we live sort of at the bottom of our lives, as this Samaritan woman did until she had encounter. And so our hope is that the level of faith would rise in the room as we hear testimony, something will happen inside of us. And so I'd like to invite Heather to come on up, give us our first testimony. Everyone, please welcome Heather.
Good morning, church. I just want to start off by introducing myself for those who don't know me. I'm Heather, a junior at Maine South High School and one of the students in EB Youth. I wasn't always actively involved in a youth group, but I grew up in the church and gave my life to God with the help of the leaders I've previously had while attending Limitless as a student. It was halfway during my freshman year that I began to drift from Evanston Vineyard, and I began to go to another church. I didn't feel like I belonged around my peers and constantly feared that I was being judged. Despite growing up with them, I didn't feel like I had a connection with many of my peers. So because of this and a few other factors, I began going to a different church. Even while attending the new church, I was invited to events at Vineyard, but I was too stubborn to get involved and was too nervous that people would judge me for leaving Vineyard. But about a year into this same cycle of just being too stubborn, I felt an extra nudge from God through Autumna to attend a church event, and it was winter retreat. I was still unsure about going, and especially because I'm not quite a fan of the cold, despite growing up in Chicago. But it turned out to be an amazing trip. I sat on a bus with a few new faces, and I never felt so welcome and loved by the youth. The trip gave me hope about feeling known by others. And after the trip in January, I began to attend youth regularly. In doing so, my relationship with Christ grew, and so did my interest and conviction to get out of my comfort zone. I took a leap of faith, literally, and I prayed to God that He would essentially grow my confidence, my patience, and will to do the things He asked me to. Pretty tough things to pray about, huh? Sure enough, God answered my prayers through a text from Autumna, again, a few days later, And he was encouraging me to attend Project Timothy. For those who don't know what Project Timothy is, it's a week-long camp in June that teaches teenagers to be leaders, helps them find their calling, grows them in community with peers, and so many more great things. I was surprised I had never heard of this camp and was really excited to go. Mind you, this camp has existed for many years, but yet God made me aware of it once I'd shown him that I was willing to expand on my skills to follow his plan for my life. While at this camp, God began to soften my heart to forgive someone, and he taught me to let go of the resentment I had. A few months later, God reminded me of my progress in learning forgiveness by reteaching me that because of his love for me, I'd been forgiven. He rebuilt me that day and reinstalled my need to keep forgiving others, even when my flesh didn't want me to. Not only that, but Project Timothy was a door to many other opportunities that would lead me to become a leader. I was accepted to go on a White Earth missions trip in July. This trip strengthened my relationship and connection with friends, with new friends on the reservation, and most importantly, my relationship with God. He freed me from situations that had been causing me to be really stressed, and he gave me hope during the trip. Not only had God kept reminding me that I was loved, but that I was placed where I belong. Hope Camp opened my eyes to being a leader for middle schoolers year-round, not just at Hope Camp. Since September, I've enjoyed being a leader in Limitless and can't wait for God to continue revealing his plans for my life. I can't wait to keep growing closer to my peers, my leaders, and to experience the love and joy that God gives us. Another big lesson I learned this year was that my tears don't make me weak. As I have gotten older, I haven't grown out of the habit of crying over things. When I feel strong emotions, I cry. When I see pain others feel, I cry. I've been told a lot of my life that I cry too much over small things. But God has taught me that my tears connect me to other people and that they are an extension of the ways I can show compassion for others. In a world that has normalized only having surface-level relationship with others around us and where society puts us down when we want to express deep thoughts and feelings, but God never wanted that way of life for us. Instead, he calls us to love one another, to take care of each other, and to extend an invitation for a relationship with God. Because our God longs to have a relationship with us where we feel comfortable talking to him as a father, as a friend, as a comforter, as a protector, and so many other things that he promises us that he will be. He longs for the day that we will share every thought, every tear, and every feeling with him, and everything else that is a part of us. Our tears can show others how genuine we feel and can help reveal just how human-like our God is. These kinds of things happen to my peers too, not just me. So one example of the ways I've seen God move in a life of fellow teenagers was when a teen in our youth invited their friend, and that friend began to attend youth, and their interest in God grew and grew and grew the more they came to youth. So if you're on the edge of believing between if God has forgiven you already or if you'll ever move past that thing that is eating you up alive, well, yes, God has forgiven you and he will help you. He will give you all the help you need and provide you with the resources and the people that will help lift you up. Don't be afraid to ask him to intervene, because nothing is too big or too small for him. You are never too old or too young for him. And he will move in your life and in your circumstances whenever you ask him to. This year definitely wasn't a smooth or easy ride from one moment to the next and required me to put faith in God. By doing so, I was able to co-depend on God while working on the things he asked me to do. Growing with God isn't always going to be easy and requires you to at least have the faith of a mustard seed. But don't let your lack of faith stop you from all the good that God has for you. Because I believe if I hadn't gone through all the things that I went through, I wouldn't have matured in the way I needed to. While some of the things I experienced were consequences of my actions, some were simply lessons that needed to be learned. All thanks to God and his powerful, everlasting love for each one of us. Amen. Now I am inviting Miss Joey to share her testimony. Thank you.
Good morning, church. My name is Joey Sharif. And before I give my testimony, I just like to sing one short song. He's an awesome God. He's an awesome God. The clouds are the dust of his feet. Our God, he's an awesome God. Yes, he's an awesome God. He's an awesome God. The clouds are the dust of his feet. Our God, he's an awesome God. I'm here to praise God for his love and his mercy, for his healing power in my life. God is good. And all the time, God is awesome. He is the best. He is wonderful. With him, all things are possible. I was diagnosed with cancer this year. I went home last year, and And then I had to breast cancer, my left breast. I mean, it was opening. So I had to come back. They did some tests, and they said the only place that I can go to do this treatment is Ghana, which is in Africa, India, or America. So hurriedly, I came back and brought the tests, the scan, and everything. And they did a whole lot of tests. And then I had cancer on my left, my spine, and a little bit on my right breast. And I asked for prayers, and I myself were praying. And I was wondering, what am I going to do? Are they going to cut me up to get all these things out of me? I don't know. But I began to pray, and then God sent me to a right doctor. And God just worked miracles. He worked miracles that I can't even explain. I did not have to do chemo. And the drugs that he gave me to stop the cancer from growing and to kill it, I would just pray over there and say, Lord, let it be a miracle. Sometimes I go to the doctor because, you know, they have after effect for these drugs. They are good, and then it's good and bad. And then it was just a miracle. After the treatment, I mean, a whole lot of treatment, praying, and the doctor would look at me. Yo, I say, I'm fine. And in fact, if I had a little symptom, I give it to God. Yes, because sometimes what you say happens. Sometimes they say, oh, I'm feeling sick today. And sometimes you get sick. Yes. So I was using my faith. And to cut long matters short, I took the skin, chest, pelvis, and all the other tests and whatnot. They say yes. And then again, they said it was, they couldn't find, I mean, they find something, and then I'd say, but I had to go to do a radiation. So they did a radiation, and then the doctor said, we have to go and check. They check, everything gone. check again, the 9th of this month, and say I'm clear. So I just give God the glory and thank him for his healing power that I'm still counted amongst the living. I'm not better than those that have gone beyond, but he still has me here for a reason. So I praise God and I thank him in Jesus' name, amen. We'll call Greg to come up.
So, good morning, and let me start off, for those of you who know me, let me start off by saying that in the UK, they call them lifts. Here in the US, we call them elevators. I guess we were raised differently. So, okay, so... So now you'll be able to hear what I have to share without the distraction of waiting for the dad joke to drop. It dropped. But to explain what God has been doing in my life this year, I need to go back a couple of years. and even though I've been walking with the Lord since I was a teenager, just a couple of years ago, God started doing a new, deeper work in my life. And this started as I began hearing about a new religious order called the Order of the Common Life. And this is something that was started by a vineyard pastor in the Columbus, Ohio area, Jared Boyd. And it... has taken the ancient traditions of monastic life and brought it together with the distinctives of the vineyard movement. And as I started hearing about this order and started looking into it, I discovered that others here at the Evanston Vineyard were also involved in it. And so I decided this really seemed like something that I wanted to pursue. So I got involved, first doing the postulancy, now I'm a novitiate, terms that were foreign to me and have taken time for me to kind of wrap my head around. But in that context, I began to discover God's purpose and calling for my life. And that purpose is to love the Lord with all my heart, soul, and mind, and to love others as myself. In other words, learning to love with God's love. And God has made it very clear to me that out of that calling, out of that purpose, everything else flows. And it is flowing for me, because along the way, I began to perceive a calling to become a spiritual director. And I'm in training for that also through the Order of the Common Life. And in this journey, God has lifted such a weight of shame from my shoulders, because I've struggled all my life with issues of employment and career and not understanding why I would see others around me successfully pursuing careers, successfully pursuing employment, you know, being able to pay the bills and everything else that goes along with it. And I'll never forget the day that I was meeting with my spiritual director, and I heard the Lord speak to me. You know, because for decades, I thought my struggle with career and employment was because I must be messing up somehow. I must be making a mistake. And in that session with my spiritual director, God spoke so clearly and told me, "You have not screwed up. You have not messed up your life. You're exactly where I intend you to be. And this is what I've been preparing you for your entire life. You just didn't know it." And with that, I just want to really give God the praise this morning for his love and for his faithfulness and for blessing me with the opportunities to share that with others. Thank you.
Church. As I was figuring out what to say today, I decided to just kind of pore over all of my previous journal entries. And in doing so, I realized that there were a few words that popped up rather consistently. Those were joy, thankful, blessed, and loved. And so for context, I gave my life to Christ at a wedding in July of 2023. Before shortly moving here from Maryland. And I moved here because I was going to be pursuing a PhD at Northwestern. And so, although I was alone in a new place, I did feel very, very comforted knowing that I was never truly alone and that God brought me here for a reason. And so I lived day by day feeling restored, excited, and just thankful for the opportunity to experience the joys of life with the Lord every single day. And so I would do things like watching services online in the comfort of my home, reading my Bible daily, praying daily, things of that nature, as I was trying to learn more about how to be a faithful Christian. But then the winter came. My first Chicago winter wasn't quite enjoyable. It was actually kind of terrible. Combination of a variety of things, but ultimately PhD demands made it such that I never really saw the sun. I worked extremely hard to succeed in my coursework and research, all the while battling imposter syndrome. I began to feel like I was alone again, like life was monotonous, and that ultimately my relationship with the Lord was growing stagnant. And so I would say that the start of this year was kind of interesting, not where I thought it was going to be necessarily. And I remember there being multiple times in which I would just lay in bed during what I define as sad boy hours. Just kind of looking and staring up at the ceiling, literally begging God to rescue me from the loneliness that I was going through, asking for more of him. And then one day, thankfully, he answered me through a friend back home in Maryland who felt very led to send me this book called The Purpose-Driven Life by Rick Warren, which is a 40-day devotional dedicated to answering the question of what on earth am I here for? And so he answers this with six different purposes, but it's the second one that spoke to me very deeply. And that was, you were formed for God's family. Which goes on to explain how we as Christians are meant to be in community with one another. And so in that very moment, God placed in me a desire to find a church. And since his timing is perfect, and it always is, that's when I met this person named Tyler Hummer, who is another Northwestern student. The topic of faith came up as Tyler interviewed me for a project of his, answering the question of how graduate students in STEM manage stress and anxiety. And after that interview, we spoke about where I was in my faith journey, as it was kind of just beginning. And that's when he invited me to the Vineyard. And though, although not immediately, eventually I ended up showing up to the Vineyard early in March this year. And thankfully, I now call it my church home, the first church that I've been to since I was 8 years old. Throughout being here, I've learned how the Holy Spirit directs people to those that are in need. And so part of how all of this began is when I met people like Amanda, Charles, Jessica, and Uche in the lobby on May 26th. And yeah, I remember that date very specifically. After chatting for some time, they invited me to their small group Memorial Day barbecue the very next day. And this is something I haven't told them, but I actually was not initially planning on attending. I was very reluctant to meet a bunch of people all at once, but thankfully decided to say yes. And it's that very invitation that played an insanely pivotal role in me intentionally pursuing community here at the Vineyard. One of the first intentional steps I took was to attend Alpha, in which Amanda, people like Ramon and Steve were leading. And this was the first space where I allowed myself to be vulnerable with others, beginning the process of healing and restoration while leaning on the wisdom of Christian leaders. From there, Ramon would invite me to Tuesday Young Adult Small Group, which is a group which has very quickly become a second family. Conversations with Jessica led to my decision to be baptized by Amanda and Ramon on September 8th, the day in which I publicly declared in my adulthood that I'm all in with handing my life over to Jesus. Immediately after I came out of the water,
as you kind of just saw, I became very in tune with my emotions.
Literally all of them, like a five-finger slap to the face. I felt happiness, sadness, love, fear, and excitement, which very quickly overwhelmed me. And that's because I had cast out all emotions for a long part of my life.
It's during this time
that it was revealed to me why. Not going into like super long details, but briefly, when my parents divorced when I was 8, I immediately placed immense pressure on myself to lessen the burden on my mother.
And this would lead me down a path of striving for perfection in every aspect of my life all through graduating college. The endless self-critique, comparisons to others, growing fear of never being good enough, feeling that I had to control my life. Those would all become constants, all the while I grew so cold toward the world and others, seeking to cast out any and all distractions to me achieving some goal that I couldn't even define for myself. And then suddenly I couldn't do that anymore. So I was just in the joy of giving my life to Christ. I felt happiness in my journey with Christ, sadness and all the hurt that I was being revealed to me. Still feared not being good enough, not truly understanding why there was so much favor placed on my life. And yet I was so excited by where the Lord was taking me. And so oftentimes weeks would be a roller coaster where I would feel absolutely blessed in one moment and then dwell on lies that I would tell myself in another. But this is why, just as we heard, Build My Life is one of my favorite worship songs that we sing here. Because it affirms that I will not be shaken as I build my life on the love of Jesus and place my trust in him daily. And that I recognize God's love in so many ways, one of which is just being here with all of you. And I'm so grateful that God sets the lonely in families, because I know that I'm a part of one. Whether through social gatherings at Autumn's Place, Ben and Eva's, Charles's, the Lowell House, or at the Racks, Thanksgiving with Amanda's family, fellowship at Mark and Ramon's, worship and Christmas at the Ryan's, I'm now not just Elias, I'm Tito Elias. All because the Lord brought me here. Not for my PhD, but for him. And so this year has just been a matter of saying yes to the Lord after saying no for so long. Releasing control unto him, who is a better leader of my life than I. Yes to prayer, which led to yes to a book, which led to yes to a church, yes to consistency, yes to connection, yes to a barbecue, yes to Alpha and small group, yes to vulnerability and restoration, yes to community, yes to wisdom, yes to baptism, yes to overwhelming feelings, yes to change and growth, yes to the finiteness of my humanity, which ultimately led to yes to the true reliance on the salvation of Jesus day by day. Yes, things I haven't even mentioned, like the conference, prophetic words that I've received, things that have been revealed to me in prayer, but this has all led me to standing here today, which is something I would normally not do. Just overflowing with immense joy every single day. And so I'm just thankful for all the Lord has delivered me from, recognizing how blessed I am to be placed in more than just an earthly family, but a heavenly one that will reign forever, truly feeling loved so much so that I can't help but pour out that love and care to others. And so what's exciting is that although 2024 is coming to a close, I know that this is just the beginning of God's plan for my life. And so I have no idea what he's going to do in 2025. But I'm really looking forward to it expectantly. And I'm really excited to see what he does in the lives of all of you here. Thank you. I'm now going to invite Tish to give her testimony.
Hi, I'm Tish. I've been here a long time. I also want to wish you a happy fifth day of Christmas. There's 7 days to go, so enjoy it all. Ted asked me to share a short testimony of God's faithfulness. The songs we've already sung today have summed it up so well. All of my life, you have been faithful. All of my life, you have been so, so good. I have a lifetime of stories of God's faithfulness. And the long view is much lovelier than the short scan. Even now, I can still say that most of life is spent waiting. And we don't often see the faithfulness of God in the time frame that we want to, right? And you may think, like I did, that at a certain point of life, all will be resolved. All the promises will be fulfilled. There will be no need to worry much. And you might think that I am at that point because I have lived longer than most of you. Well, that is not true. Over a year ago, just as I was waking up, I clearly heard a familiar voice in my spirit say, "Another wave is coming." I wasn't sure what that meant, but it sounded good. I wrote it in my journal, and like we often do, I thought it was going to show up the next day. It didn't. About 2 months later, at a retreat where transforming things happen, two words dropped loudly into my mind: winter wheat. My grandfather farmed winter wheat, so it wasn't a new concept, but I hadn't thought about it in decades. So, of course, I Googled it, because that's what you do, and I found this picture, along with the explanation that winter wheat is planted in the autumn and it grows through the winter. And in order for it to grow, it needs cold, hard ground. Uh-oh, what's ahead? Once again, that seemed quite significant. And I used this particular photo as my screensaver to remind me. And the winter wheat theme defined the year for me. Turns out, this past year has been one of the hardest in my longish life. With the exception of a few exquisite high points, and they were wonderful, rereading my journal brought back all of the pain of the past, say, 46 weeks of this year. At one point, I wrote, I am swimming in the slough of despondency, and I am drowning. It was a year of grief and loss from the start, when in early January, one of my most beloved friends, whose life was intertwined with me on an almost daily basis, moved very far away. And a few months later, another beloved lifetime friend got horrible medical news. And after several surgeries and long hospital stays, she died in September. I was very close to her days of dying throughout the summer. And I spent the last overnight she had in the hospital with her. It was awful, the 4 months between her diagnosis and her funeral. I was shattered. In between those events were swirling depositions between two companies around home repairs at our house, with the implication that what went wrong was somehow our fault. Throw in a couple of biopsies, a week of COVID over my birthday, work and family stuff, and I had constant pain and difficulty walking, which came on suddenly at the end of last year. Lots of cold, hard ground for the winter wheat to grow. But I had the long view. And I want to tell you that during this very painful season, I was always in touch with God's faithfulness. He never let me down or seemed far away. I could and did regularly feel much joy coexisting with the pain. And I look forward to hanging out with him each morning for a long stretch of time. It was my lifeline. And if you're familiar at all with the prayer called the Welcome Prayer by Father Thomas Keating, that also got me through. Towards the end of this year, many of the heart issues were resolving. I got a new treatment for my skeletal pain that finally worked. The bickering companies went away. I finished writing 2 books. Other issues quieted down and more good things came, and the grief was less acute. The word about another wave seemed to be happening at last, and the wheat was ready to harvest. I changed my screensaver from the winter wheat to a fountain from Psalm 36, 7 to 9. You give them drink from the river of delights, and with you is the fountain of life. God was faithful in the pain, and he was faithful when it lifted. I didn't have to come back to him because he was there all along. As we also sang this morning, I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken. Psalm 71 sums up my story. Since my youth, Lord, you have taught me. And to this day, I declare your marvelous deeds. Even when I am old and gray, do not forsake me, my God, till I declare your power to the next generation, and that's you. Your mighty acts to all who come. Thank you.
Let's all stand as we close. Tisha, I wonder if you could pray for us. I think some of us need that long view. So would you pray for us as we close?
I just know that each of you are growing your own crop of winter wheat right now. And I'm just praying that you would be filled with hope and expectancy for his faithfulness, which will surely appear. That in the course of your life, you will gain the long view that you will not be shaken, that you will hang on, that you can tell stories to the next generation of his faithfulness to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks so much for being with us. We have prayer teams over in this corner that would love to pray for you, I believe. But go out and be the church. We'll see you next week.